In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. So in the Gospel today, we hear a story about Jesus taking a demon out of a man. A man's possessed with demons. Jesus, actually many demons, and he cures the man. He heals him of his possession. It's one of the many healing miracle stories we have in the Gospels. So we want to talk a little bit about Jesus' miracles and what they mean. How are we supposed to understand the miracles? What do they do for us? The first thing we don't want to do is think that Jesus does miracles, you know, to wow or to dazzle people. Certainly not. It's not a magic trick, really. Sometimes I think in the world it's perceived like that. Like we just, and God, you know, like we ask God for things and he grants us wishes like a genie or something. But certainly that's not the situation. Miracles happen in the New Testament and they're recorded for a couple of reasons. The first is to announce to people that the Messiah is indeed here. That God is acting definitively like he promised and his Christ is here. Jesus is inaugurating the age of the Messiah, the kingdom of God through his presence. So he does miracles, and people who might have already known who God is, the biblical God, practicing their faith, praying, believing the right way, they would see that and they would know he is here. This is the one. So it is a sign, but it's not a sign to dazzle, to change minds, or to make people believe. In a weird kind of sense, you have to already believe to understand what the miracles are. So Jesus performs these miracles, and people either believe or they don't. There's a different response from different people. We heard that in the gospel today. Jesus took demons out of a man who had been possessed, and that man himself asked Jesus that he might follow him. Can I come with you? And Jesus told him no. The other people in the town who heard what had happened, and they heard exactly what had happened from those who saw it. So there's no like distortion of the events or corruption of how it happened or interpretation or anything. They heard exactly what happened. A man who had been possessed by demons was healed by Jesus, and they heard it verbatim. And they said, we're scared, and they asked Jesus to leave. See, so you never know what the response is going to be. The fact is, God is doing this for our benefit and for our building up. Do we ever experience miracles in our life? Sometimes it seems like that age is long gone, or maybe we hope for them, or we look for them, or maybe we're attracted to them. You know, as Christians, though, we have to understand and firmly believe that we don't base our faith on things like that. You know, a supernatural experience, a vision, some kind of a miraculous healing. It's not something that should make us believe. We have to already be believing, and it might strengthen or it might encourage what we have. Take St. Paul for an example. We heard about him in the epistle today. You know, St. Paul is such a great, we can't understate how much influence he has had on the formation of the Christian faith, really. I mean, there's like 14 books in the New Testament that are authored by him. And those were the first New Testament books written. So his witness and his experience is very valuable to us. He suggests today that after the Lord appeared to him in a vision and told him who he was, and Paul had that conversion, he told us that he didn't immediately talk to men. He didn't go check it out with the other apostles, right? He says at the beginning, this gospel is not from men, but it's from God. So when he had a vision, he went, and the scripture doesn't actually say this. It says he went into Arabia and Damascus, and after 3 years, returned to Jerusalem. So there's kind of like a three-year period where you have to piece the pieces together to figure out what was Paul doing. And we believe, and biblical scholars believe, and church fathers, that Paul was rereading scripture. He was rereading the Word of God to verify this vision. And after he read it and studied it and took it to heart and saw in the context of this experience he had with Jesus, he was blown away. And he says, this is the Christ. This is the one that God has been promising. You know? So we always checked the vision based on Scripture. That's what we do too. We don't believe things or formulate doctrines based on vision, because that's very dangerous. You know, visions dazzle. They delight sometimes. They attract and they detract. And sometimes if we're looking for them too hard, we may be shown them, but they could also mislead us. A very good story I like to tell is one of our saints, and this is confirmed in their lives too, when you hear the lives of the saints. But Saint Anthony the Great, he's the greatest monastic in church history. He was in the desert, and he had disciples who went to find him. They wanted to see him. They wanted to meet with him. So they traveled a very, very long distance to find St. Anthony. And in their travels, their donkey they were riding died. So they were very, very far away from where Anthony was. And they had to travel the rest on foot. And it took them even longer to get there. And when they found St. Anthony, they said, "Oh, Abba Anthony, we're so happy to see you. We had a little trouble on the way getting here." And he said, "Yeah, what happened? Did your donkey die?" And they said, "Yeah. How did you know that?" "Yeah, he died," and he told them exactly the location and what they did with him and how long it took them to get there. You know, and they were blown away. They said, "How did you know that, Father?" And he said, "The devil told me." See? The devil told me, because the devil can do tricks like that. He can find things out, and he can wow, and he can dazzle. So Anthony did that to them to show them, like, you can't be deluded and led away by miraculous visions. We have to base everything on our faith life, on our prayer, and what's already been confirmed for us in the Scriptures. That's crucial in our faith. You know, and like we said, this is confirmed in the lives of the saints. There are many saints who performed miracles with their bodies, right? But what about them? They didn't come out of nowhere. They were living the faith. They were praying. They were fasting. They were totally consistent with the Scriptures that came before. So it's no new story. It's no miraculous revelation of a new doctrine ever. It's always got to be something that we've already believed and that's already been established. And sometimes God gives us those. And if he does, we should thank him for it. We should worship him. We should glorify him. And we should do, as it says in the gospel today, like the man, go home and tell everyone how good God is. That should be the purpose and the point of having a miracle or having a vision or having some extra experience that not everybody gets. But we don't want to go looking for them or expecting them, demanding them, or creating situations where we think they appear, because that's delusion and it's dangerous, beloved in Christ. God does it if he chooses to do it, and he knows what we need better than we know ourselves. So in all circumstances, remember that everything is for your good. Anything that happens, check it with the Scripture. Check it with your prayer life. Read the lives of the saints. See, is this what God is telling me? Right? And if you have an extra special experience, make the sign of the cross, test it, and glorify God in it. And may others glorify God through your witness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.